This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Would you feel my arms around you? How long I've waited.
Wait a minute.
Just to love you now that
I didn't pick this music out today. Plowsy.
Plowsy, who is this?
This is Isaac Hayes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You should know that.
It's called A Look of Love.
This is love-making music.
I didn't
right
get a text from Charlie, so I figured I'd kind of...
I was lost. No, I
good call, Plowsy.
A customer just came up and said, this was a shopping save. And
no.
Then she said it was a shopping save, which Snooks have taken over. So I went to the original Snooks on Richardson
no.
Road.
No, that doesn't excuse the fact that Brian gave you a specific address.
And you responded
you know,
to the text.
Lost, okay?
I just got an Amber Alert because your family thinks you're missing. Like you escaped out of the old folks' home, and like you're wandering around Arnold somewhere. No one knows where you are. There's an
well,
Amber
imagine
Alert
what it's going to be like when he gets really old.
My daughter already told me. The
you
one
can drive the
doctor,
Porsche at the Gatesworth.
How about Gatesworth, but Delmar Gardens is where I'll go. Mm. They already have a room waiting for
take
me.
The group 20, trip to the
in
zoo.
In 20 years, I'll have a room there.
20 years.
We hope that never happens, Charlie.
No.
We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Arnold. Boar's Head Deli coming February 27th. The bratwurst, the gooey butter stuff, all homemade in the store. Tom Becknell is the store manager. The coach of the St. Louis Blues is Craig Berube. Andy, we know he's going to be the coach for the rest of this season.
Yeah, but that was already known.
Yes.
I mean, so, this is not like breaking news that he's going to be the coach the rest of the year.
Okay.
I don't think anybody was thinking that like they were going to bring in a third head coach.
All right,
go ahead,
so
yeah.
What do you think are the chances that Craig Berube is the coach next year with 33 games
left? You know what? Listen, I think that he's made a real positive impression. I think that Doug Armstrong and the rest of the management staff has a real high opinion of who Craig Berube is. I think they like the way that he's handled things since taking over. But I really believe that it comes down to a real black and white situation here.
What?
That if they make the playoffs.
Hey, he's pointing at Charlie and himself. This is a race show.
No, this is nothing but race baiting.
If they make the playoffs, Craig Berube will be the head coach next year.
Really?
If they don't make the playoffs... I think we'll have a different head coach next year. That's just my opinion.
How about this angle? Let's say they make the playoffs, but Joel Quenneville lets it be known he wants to come here.
Well, if Joel Quenneville wants to be the head coach here next year, he'll be the head coach here.
Okay.
I mean, so you could win the Stanley Cup if you're Craig Berube. Well, actually, he'd probably still stay if they won the Cup.
Yeah.
But if Joel Quenneville wants to come to St. Louis, and again, like I've said over and over and over again, he looked at this roster as complete underachievers most of the first half of the season, didn't understand, like a lot of other people around the National Hockey League, why this team was struggling in the win column. And now we're starting to see this team resemble more of who we thought they were coming into the year. They're not quite there yet, still some inconsistencies. You see that loss in L.A., that's a bad loss, but they followed that up with a good performance in Anaheim. So, you know, they got to feel somewhat good about themselves entering the break. But in terms of Craig Berube, I really like Craig. I enjoy covering Craig. I like his... straight to the point, no nonsense way he goes about doing things, how he interacts with his players, the media, everything. But I really think whether or not he comes back next year, so much of it depends on whether or not he can get this team into the playoffs. If he doesn't get this team into the playoffs, I think that opens the door for a new coach to come in next year.
Do you think they start in 8 or 9 days with Jordan Binnington as the one and Jake Allen as the 1A?
Jordan Binnington and the fact that they're starting on the road, I believe that he'll get the first start coming out of the break.
Binnington will, okay.
For sure. You know, he got the last two starts going into the break. You know, didn't have a whole lot of action in Anaheim, but he played pretty well in L.A. Even though they lost the game, he made some real big saves in that game. And the team has responded to the way that he's played. So there's no reason to stop running that train out there right now. And I would expect him to be out there the first game after the break. I believe it's in Columbus.
I guess it was Darren Pang who said on the broadcast today, he thinks that Oscar Sundquist is not only the most improved Blue, he's one of the most improved players in the league.
I tweeted that out there in early January, retweeted it yesterday to kind of add to it. So I've said the same thing. Said the same thing to Darren, actually, a few weeks ago after a game, that I believe that he's one of the most improved players in the entire league.
Wow.
And, you know, you look at his performance last year, I think we were like, 60-plus games into the year, and he didn't have a goal, right? I mean, this guy... You just didn't know who he was, and you'd be lying if you were to suggest that you're not shocked with how he's impacted this roster this year, and what he's done to help this team, you know, overcome some injuries and just, you know, be a bright spot in a year that hasn't had a ton of them. You know, you've got a lot of top players who aren't scoring, but I think if you would have told the majority of people that heading into the All-Star break that he would have more goals than Jaden Schwartz, he'd have more goals than Braden Schenn. I don't think many people would have believed you, but there's a reason why this guy was drafted in the third round and why the Pittsburgh Penguins had a high opinion of him and why the Blues pro scouting staff had a high opinion of him when they made the trade, trading Ryan Reeves. They got a first-round pick. They drafted Klim Kostin, but they also got Oscar Sundquist in that deal. And this guy looks like he's going to be a good player for the next several years down the road.
And 100% healthy when they start in Perron, you anticipate him being back?
You hope so. I mean, it's one of these situations where you just don't know. You hope the break obviously helps him out. You know, they get the bye week that coincides on the tail end of the All-Star break. So you got a lot of days off here. They don't play another game, I don't think, until February 2nd. They don't have another home game until February 9th. But he's such an important piece to this team. You need him back in there as soon as possible, and you hope to see him back in.
Good stuff. All right, Chuck, I'll allow you to gloat. Your Rams are going to the Super Bowl. A great performance by Jared Goff, who made unbelievable plays.
He called me Sunday. What was I screaming, right? I was at the top of the line.
He sounded like, I mean, I was worried about him. You called me right when the game ended. Immediately when the game ended.
Do you benefit financially at all from this?
No.
Can you answer in a yes or no answer?
No, why would I benefit? I'm not, you know.
I asked a Rams personnel, someone with Rams, to look into that for me.
No one can look into it, sir, because it comes from another source. They can't look in it. That's called jealousy. You can look into it. There's only one person you can call about that, and I'll tell you his name on the break.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. My little brother, one of the greatest executives ever in the history of the National Football League.
John Shaw, he's younger than you?
Wait a minute, but your guy Shaw doesn't like Kroenke.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know who Shaw's working with now, though?
Who?
San Diego.
So, what
LA.
Sense?
What do you mean, San Diego?
Well, yeah.
The Chargers, You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't understand what we're saying.
No, okay. I get it, but you just got to get the location correct.
In terms of what is he trying to do? Keep the Chargers, get them back to San Diego, or what?
I don't know. But he was working somewhat with the Chargers even when he left the association with the Rams. But he still probably has some intricate association with the Rams, although because
but he despises Kroenke.
Well, I don't get into that.
Yeah. All right.
I don't. I think he. You know what? When he walked up on that stage, him and Les Snead, a tear almost came to my eye. I was so happy for.
Did you almost say Les Snead? Yeah. You almost said Les. Yeah. Okay.
But when Kroenke walked on the stage, got to the podium, a tear almost came to my eyes. I'm serious. I was just that happy for him. Man, I was just. I said, "Oh my God!" My one daughter called me. She said, "That's Mr. Kroenke. Where's Mr. Shaw? Blah blah blah." Because they met him and knew him. But a tear almost came to my eye when I saw Stan Kroenke. Mm. I was so happy for him.
I don't think the Rams are that good anymore. I mean, I've watched them play the last couple of weeks.
They're year away.
I don't
think shouldn't be there.
New Orleans really struggled down the stretch. They weren't the same team that they were the first half of the season. The Rams aren't as scary as they were the first half of the season. So whoever was going to represent the NFC was going to lose to New England or Kansas City.
Neither team deserved to be in the Super Bowl. Neither team.
Yeah, one of the reasons that the Rams are in pretty good shape is they have Goff on this rookie contract, which allows them to bring in all these players. One, they're going to have to pay Goff. Now, it won't be next year. I don't think they have to pay him next year either.
Nope, they don't.
So they can keep some of these guys. Mm. And you know what? It really, like, it's spoon-fed into their success because the way to get to Breeze is, you know, that power rush up the middle. But what the Cowboys did, because let's face it, New Orleans hasn't been good offensively for, like, 6 weeks. The Cowboys set the tone on how to beat them. That rush up the middle to kind of exploit the fact that he's 6 feet tall. Well, and that was the game. I mean, Sue, who has not been great, was really good in the postseason. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Drew Brees is not assured that he may come back.
He's coming
back. To rest assured, watch the New Orleans Saints and the kid from Mizzou. What's his name again?
Drew Lock. What's wrong with you?
Watch out for that. You never know. They may draft this.
But I would think with a team so close, they would go Foles or, you know.
Exactly, Flacco or something like that.
No.
You know what?
Foles, look out for Jacksonville. Well,
that sounds like you have insider information from your agent friends.
Okay, so I knew early in the football game in that first half, when New Orleans couldn't finish drives and they were coming away with 3 points, that was going to come back to bite them and haunt them. And sure enough, it did. I mean, you can't just put up field goals against a team like L.A.
They left two touchdowns
You knew they were going to come back and eventually find a way to catch up. I mean, they were down 9-0. They were down basically by a touchdown, you know. I mean, so they were never really out of the game. But we all know that we're going to, you know, The bad call at the end of the game, the missed pass interference, will go down as one of the worst calls in the history of sports.
But the Kansas City New England game was almost just as bad. They had more.
But that wasn't a bad
call. That wasn't obvious.
Yeah, I mean, he was offsides. Ford was offsides.
But let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. What the scouts and coaches will tell you, the officials never, ever call that play.
Especially you mean the offsides?
The offside. Sometimes they tell you to identify.
They give you a warning. And we don't know. They may have given a warning to the Chiefs earlier in that game.
They call offsides, but normally it's when you jump across, not when you're just lined up.
You don't even move.
That does seem
You know, rarely do you see that happen. But you know what?
But the one call when they said he hit Brady in his face.
In his face, yeah.
I mean, come on.
I know.
There were so many bad calls.
The pass interference call, the lack of pass interference.
All right, let me ask you this.
We've never seen anything like that. I mean, and I hate when people say – who want to come out and publicly say, well, one call didn't cost the game. Well, you know what? When it's at the end of a game and a team's about to close it out and basically finish it off, and it's for the result is to whether or not the team gets to go to the Super Bowl or not.
Like with Don Denkinger.
Come on, man.
There were other things. But still, the bottom line is
it cost
they get
the
that
game.
To offset a bad call, I always tell people, score enough points.
Yeah, they had the ball in overtime.
Right, score.
Tom Brady didn't let Patrick Mahomes get it back, but Drew Brees let Jared Goff get it back.
I like what Tom Brady did with Mahomes at the end of the game. He took him to a room, and he knew, man, this guy is going to be something else.
But it's safe, I agree. Mahomes is the most special talent in the world right now. But you know what? We were saying the same thing about Dan Marino. Oh, he's going to play in 10 Super Bowls after he lost that first
time.
Never got back.
I'm not saying that about Mahomes. I'm just saying he's going to be a fantastic player.
He will. He'll put up monsters.
And now he has Steve Spagnuolo running that defense. Yes. So that's a really good sign.
Spagnuolo, when he was with the Giants before we got him over here, was pretty good.
He was here and he was the worst ever. And then he went to New Orleans and he was even worse.
Ever. Yeah. He set a league record for giving up
But
points.
You know what?
This is
where
guy.
People don't focus on agents when it comes to coaches. Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, they have a history, obviously, from their days in Philadelphia. But they also share the same agent.
Good old boy network. They share take care of one another, man.
They do take care of one another. So, I mean, nobody should be surprised that Spagnuolo is going to land and find his way to Kansas City.
All right. How about this thought? We conducted a poll, and we got a lot of votes at Channel 5 on if you would watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
71% said they would not vote the Super Bowl. I'm saying that 69% that they would not watch.
They're lying.
So and I said 69% are lying.
Yes.
There's no way you cannot watch a thing.
Yeah, you got to watch it. They'll be at a party watching. Come on.
I mean, even if you don't like the Rams, you watch to see the Patriots.
They just told
you do like the Rams, you want to see them win.
You're the sports director. They just told that you didn't make you feel good.
No, that was a news poll. And I went on to see TV right afterwards. I said 70% are lying. Then I got a bunch of emails saying, I'm not lying. I'm not going to watch it.
Now, you've got to watch it or you're going to watch it. There's two different scenarios.
Guys, the Super Bowl.
Oh, I want to watch
it. The game is an afterthought. Women watch it. Kids watch it because they want to see the commercials. It's an event. They want to see the halftime show.
See this young lady shaking her head.
It's not.
You watch it? She's going
to
watch it.
The football game is secondary. Nobody goes to a Super Bowl party for the most part caring about who wins or about the actual game. It's a social event. It's like Christmas.
I trash talk the entire game.
It's a holiday.
I'm at somebody else's house. The entire game, stretch talk.
So don't invite Chuck to your Super Bowl party because that sounds miserable.
Or Joan.
Yeah.
You're the guy who takes
the mother,
I mentioned you on television the other night.
Did you?
I said there's three people I know that are actually rooting for the Los Angeles Rams. Charles Tuna, Ahmad Hicks, our sportscaster.
Yeah.
And then Chris Sloan, former Billiken, who works for Kroenke selling private boxes in L.A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only three I know.
Well, it's a lot of people, I think, in St. Louis that are going to be rooting
for.
You know what? I tweeted that out, too, that Charlie Tuna may be the only person I know that's happy right now. But I got a lot of responses back saying that one guy said, hey, the bar I was at, there were a ton of people rooting for the Rams.
I know,
and
man.
You know what? A lot of the younger kids that are in
the
high school and college.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They are, like, I know some kids who are currently in college. There's some friends of mine whose kids are freshman, sophomore in college, and they're still diehard Rams fans, man. That's the team they grew up with.
I'm telling you what it's like, a romance and your girlfriend or wife leaves you.
But can I say this?
Let it go.
Let me say this about the Rams. I mean, all these people acting like, well, I won't watch because nobody watched the last few years they were here anyway. Nobody paid any attention to the Rams the last few years they were here.
Yeah.
Nobody went to the games. It was a terrible product. And to act like this is some you know, long lost tradition that we had here in St. Louis because everyone was warm and fuzzy about that football team. Very but, few people actually but, toward yeah, the tail end also, cared about that football team.
You're also aware that if this happened in Cleveland or if this happened in Cincinnati, where he had the worst 10-year stretch in history, and an owner who doesn't talk to the town, that would be the exact same situation in Cincinnati.
But they have a long,
you know that.
They have a lot more history
you know
and
that.
Tradition with
you
their
team. You
can't
do that. There's no such thing, Andy.
Don't
it's a
compare
bad NFL
the Steelers
city.
In Pittsburgh to the St.
Well,
Louis
I didn't say
Rams.
Pittsburgh.
There's no
but there is Cleveland. No. There's no such thing as a bad NFL city. There's only bad NFL owners. And we won the lottery in hell twice, back-to-back with Bidwell. And
but Kroenke. Those people that are complaining wish we had the football team back here now.
Absolutely. I wish we had football.
I mean, right. how nice would it be right now
oh,
if we're
goodness.
Breaking down that Super Bowl game?
Oh, God.
Okay?
But,
it's unbelievable.
But management made sure that we, our team, St. Louis, went to two Super Bowls as well. People forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been two Super Bowls, 99 and 2001. We lost 2001.
Right.
And this is going to be a rematch of that game, practically.
And you know what? I'll never forget Mike Martz saying after that game, we'll be back, we'll be back. And they never got back. Well, now they're getting back right now.
Well, that was
right
his fault. We lost in 2001.
Now they're getting back now. But you're right.
There's a guy named Marshall Faulk.
There's no guarantee.
Coach Martz that you can't get.
Yeah, you can see Marshall Faulk in Kroenke's box every
well,
game.
Well, why wouldn't he be? Who else is going to hire
be.
Him yes. right now? He needs a job. He
yeah.
needs a job.
Yeah. That is unbelievable how he was on top of the world, and now he may not find work. Guys that have that label against them, they don't find work.
Listen, he's a legendary figure in that organization. The Rams will take care of him. He'll eventually start working for that team.
Let me tell you what.
If he's not already.
There's one guy that was associated with the Rams. Remember Henley?
Yeah, June Henley.
No, Henley, the guy that got in trouble for, I think, distributing drugs.
Drugs.
He's in prison.
Yeah, I think it was
John
June Henley.
John Shaw, to this day, still takes care of that guy's family. That's just the way the Rams organization, see, there's a lot of things behind the door, behind the curtain that you don't know about the Rams. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty good organization when it comes to taking care of people.
Yeah, just not.
Derek Kroenke is
just
too.
Not people in Texas that he has to kick
well,
off his
know.
Land because he needs to make a few extra bucks.
Well,
we'll take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Arnold. Come on by, say hello. Tom Becknell is the manager here, and they have the homemade bratwurst and the cookies and the gooey butter, all made in store. We're excited to be here. And I'm also going to be excited about being at the car show at 5 o'clock today because the Bomarito Automotive people are bringing in Indy car driver Ed Carpenter, who is a part of the Bomarito 500. It's a great place to see some of these cool cars. Come on by and say hello. We appreciate the Bomarito Automotive family. We'll be right back.